Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
The beaten down Ed Stetzer, who no longer even tries to change the intro. So I've offered to give away a free course, and people, I think, love the intro. Because I know people are listening. We see you.
Yeah.
Listening. So I don't know. They just this must love the intro, I guess.
Yes. Okay. So we have a question from Timo. I think that's how I say his name, but here it is. How do we replant worshiping communities within an old church structure? They do it a lot in Europe, in Anglican, Lutheran, and Catholic churches. It's kind of church planting, but in a very different context. So how do we replant worshiping communities within an old church structure?
Yeah, of course, the most well-known example of that would be what HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton, is doing in the UK. I was just talking to an Oxford professor about this, and they kind of see, when they talk about church planting in the UK, it's kind of two main categories. And one of the first, and this is actually from Greg Downs, who's talking to the director of ministerial training and dean of the Wesley Center for Missional Engagement at Wycliffe Hall, Oxford. Longest title. Well, I must confess I have long titles too. But when you kind of look at the picture of this kind of church planting, what you find is that there'll be a closed church. Now, keep in mind, you know, as Europe has become more secularized, mm-hmm. there are literally thousands upon thousands of empty churches, cathedrals. A cathedral is a technical thing. It means a bishop's chair is there. So you can have a church that's bigger than a cathedral and not be a cathedral. But there's all kinds of those cathedral-like, to us low church Protestants, facilities. And what HTB has done is they send we might call it a core group, but it's much bigger than that. So that if we go back to even Peter Wagner's language on church planting, they kind of hive off a church planter with the whole church into a new facility. So 300-500 people show up. And so as a form of church planting, I mean, I think it is a form of church planting. It's church planting in an established building. So, and there's some of this been going on in Montreal. You know, so these ideas are not uncommon, and it does give us an opportunity to kind of re-evangelize, but through the tools that in some cases God has used in the past in very powerful ways. I mean, those Anglican churches made such a difference in their communities, and then eventually, you know, eventually faded away, if you will. Now there are challenges with that as well. I was talking to a pastor of a 1,000-year-old church in the UK who was explaining to me the challenge of getting a bathroom allowed to be inside of his church, because it's, you know, it's historic and so many challenges with that. So it's not without, what I would say is if, sometimes when someone gives you a building, it's not a gift. It's actually a burden. Mm-hmm. And so one time we were planting churches years ago, and somebody, a church closed, and they gave us the building. And I wasn't sure it was a doable scenario in that building. So I said to them, we're going to do one of two things. We'll look at it, but you need to understand that we may sell the building, take the money, and use it to plant church per church in that community. And so that's what we ended up doing in that case. But what I would say is, one of the real questions is, you know, how do you do that? Here's where it goes badly. Mm-hmm. When you have an established church that has been dying for whatever many years, you know, in the UK, it could be centuries. But, you know, mostly the cases we're talking about, US and Canada, you know, it could be a decade of death. It's near death. There's 12 people left. And they say to the church planter, we want you to plant the church, and we'll be part of it, and it'll be amazing. The reality is you can't expect there not to be major drama if you try to plant a church with a group of Christians who've been part of a church that's declined for 10 years. Now, again, you can make it through that drama. You know, any relationship, from a marriage to, you know, raising kids, there's always drama. The question is, do you want to walk through that drama, mm-hmm. or not? Now, the way to avoid that is to obviously say to any existing congregation, there's two paths. One, to say, no, we're starting over from scratch. Give us a year and then come back. And that was the thing a few months ago that made the national news here in the U.S. A Methodist church was being restarted. I forget where it was. I'm thinking Rochester, New York. And the church planner said to the people, we want you to go, give us a year, let us start, then you come back in. And then the news story was, new church planner wants all the old people to leave. And it actually
I remember
poorly,
that.
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't fair at all, because what he was trying to do is very normal. Basically, saying we need, it wasn't an age issue. I mean, though in this case, and in many cases, it's an older congregation, it was a culture issue. We need 6 months to a year to build a new culture, a new direction. Now, remember I said that was the first way, is to kind of have some space. The second way is to send hundreds of people. And that's what HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton, tends to do. When you send hundreds of people, then that kind of makes it easier and because you are the church. You bring the culture with you. If there's 10 people there or 100 people there, you send 500. There's a new culture. It's not without its challenges. No, for sure. You want to learn to love each other, but it's a different feel.
Yeah. So let's dig into that a little bit because of COVID. Is your sense in the next 2 to 5 years that this is going to become increasingly commonplace, that smaller struggling churches are going to shut down and not be able to economically get through COVID?
That's a fair question. I think so. One of the early studies we did says 6% of churches were that they found this financial downturn to be, enough that they would think they might not make it. Mm-hmm. So is it an existential threat, a threat to the existence of what percentage of churches? What I would say is, I think you'll see, the only study I've ever seen of this is by Bill Day after Katrina. He studied the churches that just never came back. Mm-hmm. And there were a decent number. There was a significant number where people just say the natural disaster and the economic consequences that follow just made it impossible for us to go on. So, yes, I think we'll see more of that. I would say, too, man, it's just tough because there is a very, how do I put it? There's a very clear sense that churches go on and on and on long before even they're viable.
Yeah.
It's hard to shut down a church. Yeah. John Mark Clifton, our mutual friend, and some mm-hmm. others try to help churches rebirth something new. So I do think that a lot of churches, if you were to, let's think, we've got a church seats 300 people.
Yeah.
We've got 30 people left, and they go to a church in another part of town that's full and say, hey, would you send 200 people to this church? I think that the people in that church would probably value that. Just full disclosure, I mean, we're not meeting right now at our church, though we're not far from it. And where we are is I'm the teaching pastor at High Point Church in the western suburbs of Chicago, and I've mainly been preaching before the shutdown at High Point Wheaton. Well, mm-hmm. High Point Wheaton was First Baptist Wheaton, and First Baptist Wheaton was not used. The facility was not being, it was underutilized. There wasn't a handful of people. There were over 100 people, but now before the shutdown, we ended up seeing, 100 people. There are hundreds more people that came in.
Yeah.
And not everybody was, and we sort of knew this. I mean, everyone would say, a lot of people even voted to do this. Baptist or congregational, a lot of people who voted to do this are actually devoted knowing that they probably wouldn't stay.
Yeah.
And yet they thought it was a good thing for the church.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think ultimately there are a lot of paths, and I could see a lot more of that. Now, in the case of High Point, it's a site rather than, and I know Todd's the master of the siting, but it's a site more than a church plant. I think either way, you'll see more of that.
Yeah. So let's say we have a thriving church in a city who has a heart toward multiplication, and there's a church that they're beginning to, a struggling church that has a building, struggling congregation that is at the point of saying, hey, we want to, like, they've approached the church. They've approached the thriving church. So let's get beyond that whole side of the conversation. And so as a thriving church and wanting to multiply, you are trying to figure out, okay, how do I navigate this conversation? The congregation of the dying out church doesn't yet know. It was really more the pastor or the elders of that church that have approached you. How would you go about navigating that and the first few steps?
Well, I think you can have those conversations with the leadership, but eventually these are congregational decisions. Even in non-congregational churches, these are congregational decisions. Mm-hmm. There's a book called Better Together that our friends Jim Tomberlin and Warren Bird wrote. I would definitely look at that and kind of walk through that process. We actually engaged Jim Tomberlin's group, Multi-Site Solutions, for our conversation here mm-hmm. at what is now High Point Wheaton, and found that to be a very helpful pattern and tool. Because there's some questions you need to ask and answer. Like, I guess I can just use examples for High Point. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask questions about, okay, this is much more, High Point is a large church and much more elder led, though, you know, they vote for certain things like often larger churches do that have some, you know, some church polity, mm-hmm. That is more congregational. But so whereas the former church had a lot of voting, regular business meetings, they debated and discussed things, that we don't do that at High Point much anymore. And so they had to say, is this okay? You know, what about the roles? What is our view of the roles of women in ministry and how aligned were they? They weren't 100% aligned. They were 75% aligned. How do we, are we okay with getting to this, you know, place? So in this case, it's the smaller church that is being shaped or will be shaped by the culture of the larger church. But one thing we did is that, you know, the former church, the First Baptist Wheaton, had a real strong missions history. And whereas High Point didn't. High Point basically did U.S. church planting. And so in that case, we actually wanted the culture to go the other direction. Mm. And so we now are strongly, and this is part of what I sort of advocated for, we're now strongly engaged in cross-cultural missions in a way that we weren't before. But most of the time, it's a sense a merger, but you need to be clear that in most cases, it's not a merger, let's pick a new culture. It's a merger, and the church merging in is adopting and adapting the culture of the established church.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen a situation where through that, through an instance like that, especially maybe in a multi-site setting, where the pastor of the kind of the dying out church remains and becomes a campus pastor of the new one? Or yes. Most of the time just a switch in leadership?
Yeah, it's very common. No, very common to be the campus pastor because, and it might often be the campus pastor for a time period. Say we might do 6 months or a year that people in the campus or the church plant. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a church. We're really talking about multi-site because you have to with a church plant, you need a church planter. Mm-hmm. So it's very common, and sometimes it can be a transition time for the merging in church to say you're going to have your pastor. Pastor's going to be preaching regularly for a season, then we'll transition. A lot of times, like a lot of these places are video venues. Mm-hmm. We're a mix at High Point. So, but you know, sometimes when we brought in a campus, they would say, well, we kind of want to make the transition and we'd like a year where we're majority in-person preaching. And there's a value to that anyway. It gives you a chance to get to know everybody. So there are different ways to get there. But yeah, I think ultimately that campus pastor can be, because a lot of times what happens is the pastor of the established church, the merging in church, to use that language, the merging in church, he's really good at pastoral care, but maybe not so good at preaching and leading. With somebody else, partnership becomes much better.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Now, if you want to dig a little bit deeper into this, just head on over to newchurches.com as we have had interviews with Mark Jobe and John Mark Clifton, and there's many resources to help you begin this journey in and around all that we talked about today. Awesome. So thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.